tasting bhakti rasa, manji bhav sadhana, reading from a book by Kunti Bihari Das Babaji Maharaj, who is the guru of Ananta Das Babaji. And we spent 50 pages, read 50 pages of this book already, described the introduction to the subject of ras. In order to taste ras, to actually experience ras, one has to come to the level of bhava. But as a sadhaka, we're far away from the level of bhava. But by reading shastras describing the bhava prema-filled pastimes of Radha and Krishna, written by their eternal associates like Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Narottam, etc., Vishnu Chakravarti, and reading their books about Krishna's Leela, which are full of ras and prema, then some of that ras is reflected in our heart. So we get like rasa bhas, we get some taste. Bhas means a semblance, a flavor of the scent of some experience and some happiness of experiencing ras. So therefore, tasting bhakti ras is even a part of sadhana and raghunuga bhakti. That's why Kunti Bihari Das Babaji is describing it. So there's five components. There's five components of ras, and the first one is Radha and Krishna, and then the devotees of Radha and Krishna, and then the settings and the places. So generally, when ras is analyzed in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Siddha Nirjalanamani, he only talks about tasting ras from the viewpoint of the sakis, Radha and Krishna, how they're tasting. But because he's a guru of Manjari Bhava and Raghunuga Bhakti, Kunti Bihari is trying to show how all these ideas and aspects of ras, experiencing ras, which means the sthairati, which is a dominant, eternal, unchanging mood of love towards Krishna, like madhurati, amorous love, or vatsayarati, parental love, or sakirati, friendly love, friendship, sister to sister, brother to brother. Or dasirati. This was called the sthairati. Sthai means situated, fixed, located. So the permanent unchanging mood. So the tasting of ras begins, you have to move the hearts. You have to taste love, you have to move the hearts. If your heart doesn't move, you can't taste love. So something has to move your heart. At least to rattle it. You know, start making it, knocking on the door of the heart or whatever. So that's called Udipan, Vibhav Udipan. So there's five aspects of ras. The prominent foundation, the beginning point of all of it, is the relationship of love with Radha and Krishna. And that's called Madhurya, amorous love. So the Manjaris and Sakis are all taking part in that amorous love, directly as sakis or indirectly as manjaris, assisting Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges. Well, the manjaris and the sakis and Radha and Krishna are all Madhurya Rati. This is their sthai rati. Now the vibhav and the vibhav and anubhav and sansari bhavs and sattvic bhavs, they all vary and change according to different circumstances and different leelas and different feelings that are generated in the hearts of Radha and Krishna, because everything the center of the wheel of ras is Radha and Krishna. Everything else is spinning around the center. Like a rasa dance, Radha and Krishna in the center, and all the gopis, all the manjaris, everyone's spinning around them. Manjaris don't really directly dance in the rasa dance, but they play musical instruments, clap their hands. They may dance to put on a dropped ankle bell or bangle or something. You may dance next door running, put it on, but ordinarily they're not part of the rasa dance. As some devotees from Manjari Bhava, they have the idea, they want to project themselves into the Leela, that they're active participants. But this shows that those devotees that are thinking like that, there's one of them sitting here also, they're not having a clear idea what they're reading. Because what the acharyas maybe don't understand English so well. What the acharyas always write practically all the time and Krishna Bhavanamrita, Govinda Lilamrita, etc. When Radha Krishna wants to be very intimate, everyone leaves, even the Manjaris. So the Manjaris, some people have the idea Manjaris are sleeping every night in a flower bed of Radha Krishna. That's way off. That's way off, way off. Once in a blue moon, maybe Radharani, because that's mentioned. It's mentioned in Shastra by Prabhupada Saraswati, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, that Radharani, Paryanka Stabitam Vastra Vicharitam, Radharani sits the Manjaris on the bed and takes her under the covers. That's a one-time thing. In a verse before I said, some special Manjari, to show some special Manjari, it shows special mercy. So you know, I'm that special Manjari. Maybe that special Manjari is Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari, like this. So that's called an occasional pastime, once in 100 million years. Basically, the Manjaris are dasis, they're dasi bhavas, so they're a little distant. They're not like, you know, coming between Radha and Krishna about to kiss, and the Manjari puts her face there, gets kissed on her cheek by Radharani, and this woman by Krishna. That's not the idea. Radharani wants to kiss Krishna's lips, Krishna wants to kiss Radha. Wait a minute! I mean, come on, you know. It's not all one, that's Mayavad conception. Well, you always should meditate. What's my service here? I'm not a co-enjoyer. My position isn't a co-enjoyer of Radha Krishna. My position is to enhance and serve and make their enjoyment increase more and more. Automatically, by rebound and reflection, I'm automatically experiencing it. So, the stairati begins to move when you have a lover and a beloved and you have a place. To have loving pastimes, you need a place. Everything, if you want to do anything, you need a place to do it. You want to sleep, you need a floor, you need a bed, you need a sleeping bag, you need something. So that's called udipan. Udipan means the stimulants, the inspirators, the enkindlers, that which inspires and moves the ras. What are examples of udipan? The place, the full moon night, Krishna's flute playing, the banks of Yamuna, spring season, the gentle breeze is blowing, carrying the scent of sandalwood and lotus flowers, and different things are Krishna's peacock feather. Many things are necessary to enkindle and instigate and ignite the love in the heart. Anything to do with the lover ignites the heart of the beloved, the voice of the beloved, the clothing of the beloved, the movements of the beloved, the memory of the beloved, the touch, everything is connected to the heart. Because the lover lives in the heart of the beloved and lives in the senses and mind and everywhere. So this, he starts off by describing Vibhav. Vibhav is the vishesh, means the special bhav, the special feeling between the lover and lover. It gets things going. The vibhav are the causes for experiencing any stai bhav for Krishna as ras. They're twofold, the alamban and inspirators. The alamban and udipan are two aspects of vibhav. There's the stai rati, vibhav, anubhav, vyavachari bhav, and sattvic bhavas. There's five aspects of ras. And so vibhav has two divisions. One is called Alamban, Prema Shraya, which means the gopis and Radharani, and Bilamban, Prem Vishai, the object. Vishai means, the word Vishai means object. Means the object of love and the reservoir of love, the repository of love. So he explains what this means, how these work together, how the Udipan work with the Alamban. When a receptive devotee, that means the sadhaka, it means us. Are you receptive? We're trying to receive. Like once someone said, if you want to receive rainfall, you have to turn your bucket. You can't have your bucket upside down. If your bucket is upside down, you put it out in the yard to collect water, you won't get any water. So he said, you have to turn your bucket up like this to catch the water. So he said, that's the problem with our hearts. Our hearts are upside down. We have to turn our hearts face up to catch the water of mercy of Krishna Guru for it to work. Our bucket of our heart is upside down. We can't fill it with the mercy. It's flowing. It's raining all the time, mercy. So, he said, when a devotee hears or reads about the activities, names, forms, and qualities of Krishna and Radharani and the gopis, then it acts on his samskaras. Samskaras. Samskaras are mental impressions in the subconscious, awakening one's desire for a specific type of direct service. This desire, when developed, becomes one of the dominant moods of devotional love, sthaibha. So he's explaining, how do you know what your sthaibha is? Is my sthaibha, my sthairati, motherly love, or amorous love, or servitude love, or friendly love? So when you read about those kind of pastimes, where the main subject matter is Yashoda and Nanda and Krishna, or Subal and Sridham and Balaram and the coward boys and Krishna, or the gopis, and you get excited, or it stimulates your subconscious, your samskaras, and your interest and your attraction in a particular way, that gives some indication of what your sthaibha, or at least what you're interested in. The activities, names, forms, qualities, etc. of Krishna are known as vibhav because they cause devotion to flourish. Vibhav means the mover of the heart is vibhav, basically. What moves the heart? Causes devotion to flourish. That's a very poetic way. Causes devotion to flourish means it moves your heart. Like if you don't see your beloved, you know, you're just driving your car and all of a sudden your girlfriend goes by in another car, whoa. You just see her and then your heart starts moving. And then, hey, and you call, hey, I just saw you. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm just going back to work. How much time do you have? I have 15 minutes. Okay, I have 15 minutes too. Pull over the car, come meet me. So then, you know, you spend 15 minutes together. It's called some shift at some boat. Some shift at some boat. There's four times a meeting unit. One's called some shift, which means Shana means a moment, and some means a few moments together. Some shift to a few moments together, 5 minutes in the elevator going from the 70th floor to the ground floor. You got a lot done in that time. From the 70th floor of the skyscraper down to the ground floor, you got to do a lot of things. If you're excited. There's no one else in the elevator. No cameras. There's probably a camera. So if you don't want to be on film, you better go down the stairs. But it'll take a long time. They get too tired even to walk all the way down. This desire, when developed, becomes the sthaibha mood of love. So the names, forms, qualities, dress, place, everything about Krishna and Radharani are vibhav because they cause the heart to move, they cause the ocean to flourish. The root meaning of the word vibhav is vibhu. Oh, that's interesting. Vibhu means to grow, to flourish, or become glorious. It's interesting because vibhu is V and B-H-U. This is the, they call it, I don't know, mool or something. The Sanskrit mool. The mool means the root of the verb. Vibhu means to grow, to flourish, become glorious. So the word bhu has the word earth in it. Bhumi. So bhumi, things grow on the earth. They don't grow in the sky. Your love grows in the sky of your brain. Or sky of your heart, or whatever. But, you know, crops and fruits and flowers grow on the ground. So it's easy to remember. Vibhu means to grow, to nourish, to develop. So that which grows the love, sprouts the love, makes the love move, is vibhu. And the primary division of Vibhava is two, alamban, which he translates as props. Props are, it means the starters, the lover and beloved, basically what it means, everywhere. Like alamban, what is the alamban? Vibhava alamban and vatsayaras. Vibhava alamban, the premashraya is who? Yashoda. Who's the frame Vishai?
Gopal.
Who?
Gopal.
Krishna. Yeah, it can be called Gopal. That was an erotic answer. That's good. It's nice. Nanda Dalal, Yashoda Dalal. You can go on forever with those kind of things. That's nice. Gopal. That's what a lady would say, Gopal, because ladies love Krishna like Gopal, you know. Men don't have that kind of bhav, you know. They don't have a motherly instinct, you know. Women in general have a motherly instinct. So some ladies said, Gopal. I'm sure there's 100 guys, no guy would say Gopal, I'd say Krishna. I mean, he's really, you know, Vrindavan Dwari, he'd say Nandalal or Yashoda Lal or Lala or, you know, Chora. Raja Chora. Chora. Hey, Chora. So the root meaning of Vibhav is Vibhu, which means to grow. So Udipans are inspirators, instigators, catalysts, etc. Vibhav is the love's object, Vishaya, and the love's receptacle. The object of love and the shelter of love, because it's called Premashraya, it's easy, remember, Ashraya means shelter. So the object of the mantra is love. We discussed this already, but this, we're going through this book, so we're going through this book. And as I said the other day, Indian books, they repeat things 20 times, so hold on to your seatbelts, because I'll probably repeat this 20 times. Because we're in India, and we're reading a book by an Indian, great, saintly person. That's the way they do things here. So now we're describing the Vishaya Lamban, which means the Prem Vishaya and the Prem Ashraya. The object of the mantra is love. Are Rama and Krishna. I don't think that comes as any surprise. And he has a prayer from Jiva Goswami, Krishna Sundara 189. One thing about this book, like his disciple Natadas Babaji, Kunjavihari was a great pundit, and he always quoted Shastra left, right, and center, everywhere. It's really impressive. He didn't have any search engine or computer or anything like that. He had a big brain, a big library over there in Radhakund. So this is Krishna Sundarbha, verse 189. Jiva Goswami Pad writes, even the most wonderful, intense manifestation of spiritual existence is that of Krishna and Vrindavan. And more, he becomes more delightful when he's mixing, joined with Radharani. That's just a prayer. That's really nice. Because Krishna Sundarbha is all about the unique position of Krishna as being the supreme form of Godhead. Well, the Bhagavatam itself describes that Vasudeva or Vishnu is the absolute truth, the supreme form of Godhead. Everybody says Vasudeva, from first canon to 12th canon. Vasudeva Vishnu, Vasudeva Krishna. But as I mentioned last week, Jiva Goswami and Aura Goswami agree with that. Krishna has two Bhagavan soil. This is our subjective, prejudiced, bigoted view. We say our main pramana is the Bhagavatam. That's explained by Goswami. Because you go to South India, they'll say Vishnu is reading the Bhagavatam, and they'll quote the Bhagavatam, and you can't really argue them. So we see how important the Goswamis are. Our life and soul, that's why we say Rupa Raghunatha Pali Harbi Akati. Our life and soul is Rupa and Raghunath. Their viewpoint, because their viewpoint is the viewpoint of Radha and Krishna. Their worship is Radha and Krishna. Their mantra is Nitya. Their kaya view of Radharani's body, the Manjri, Sakis, Rati Manjri, Ru Manjri, the Bhanga Manjri, etc. They're all directly expanded from Radharani's transcendental praying sarup. And they're writing that this Krishna is the supreme form of God, and he's the Swayam Bhagavan. Because in other Puranas and other in Ramayana it says Rama is Swayam Bhagavan. So these arguments, if you want to argue that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, you won't be able to find much support. It's just how to say Sri Goswami. They say, you say one mouth, shut your mouth. You're saying Bhagavad Purana is your main Purana. Amala Puranam is your, everything's based on the Bhagavatam. Anything that disagrees with the Goswami said, anything that disagrees with the Bhagavatam, we reject it. They said it, even Goswami said that. You say, well, it says in this Gargasamhita, or it says in this Upanishad, or this place, that this and that, but the Bhagavatam says different. Bhagavatam is the final word. For Gaudiya Vaishnava, Bhagavatam is the final word. And it's six sandarbhas, or 100,000 verses, describing the Bhagavatam, citing the Bhagavatam to prove all the aspects of Gaudiya Siddhanta. So he says, one Srimad Bhagavatam, first canon, chapter 3, verse 28, Krishna has two Bhagavan Swam. He says, this is the Paribhasa Sutra. This can't, whatever it is, anything that goes against this verse is cancelled out. So this one verse of the Bhagavatam cancels out all the other verses, which is hundreds of verses of the Bhagavatam, to say Vasudeva is the Supreme Personality of God, say Vishnu. And one verse says Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. I've been practicing Bhakti for 48 years. I just heard this 3 years ago. I almost died. I said, well, this is really far enough. I said, then I realized how important Rupa Sanatana and the Goswamis are. They're my everything. Because my Guru Maharaj always said, follow the Goswamis, follow the Goswamis. So if I live or die, if I become a heretic or become cast under stones or burned at the stake for speaking that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, let it be. It's such a funny thing. You have to be a little mature in your bhakti to digest what I'm saying right now, otherwise you'll bloop tomorrow. You have to be pretty flexible.
What?
You read the Bhagavatam, you actually study. You read the Bhagavatam? No, I read 10 pages of Saradarshini. Okay, you're a big reader of Bhagavatam. Well, we should read the Bhagavatam at least, you know, 10 times at least, but anyway. So you read from start to finish, you'll see everywhere Vishnu is the Supreme Personality. Vasudeva, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vasudeva Pramukha, Vasudeva Pramukha. Read 10th canto, read Saradarshini, every verse says Vasudeva, Vasudeva, Vasudeva. Well, Krishna. And when you translate the verse, it says Sanskrit, Vasudeva, we translate it as Krishna. I love it. I love it, you know, Krishna, because he breaks your brain, you know. He makes you give up all attachments to Siddhanta, and you just have to go with your love. Love is the guiding principle in bhakti. Bhakti means the principle of love. You want Tava, then be a Vishnu Bhakta. You want to be a rigid follower of Tava Siddhanta, stay with Vishnu, you'll be happy. But lovers of Krishna, they okay, Tava, whatever. I just love Krishna. What Tava do the Gopis know? They know Krishna's a beautiful, handsome boy from our village, and we love him. That's all. Good night. And they know he's a Paramatma also, and they know it's Parameshwar, and they know it's Jagat Guru, and they know it's Jagadishwar. Sometimes they say that in periods of separation. But they don't live their life based on that. That's just exceptional situation. He describes a bunch of verses about how Krishna is the Viva Prem Vishai, the object of love, where love grows, where love flourishes, begins with the Viva, brought in Krishna, lover and beloved, Prema Shraya and Prem Vishaya. So he quotes some verses from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. It doesn't say where they're from, but that's another thing standard about Indian books. Usually they don't cite what verse. They say it's this such and such scripture, but they don't tell you what verse, which just makes it a little hard to read the 3,000 verses of Vrindavan Mahamrita. Sri Krishna is the Lord of Vrindavan. He makes Gokul honey sweet by his presence. He's Nanda Nandan. Krishna's body spreads rays of nectar throughout the universe. Therefore, he's known as Krishna Chandra. That's nice. Like the moon, Chandra Day, the moon spreads rays of nectar throughout the universe. Somaras, the soothing moon rays. So Krishna is called Krishna Chandra. Why is he called Krishna Chandra? Who happens to be her brother? Her brother's got a pretty rustic name. Krishna Chandra means Krishna's transcendental body, praying through, spreads rays of nectar throughout the universe. And Gokul, this land of Gokul, why is it so sweet? Because of Krishna Chandra. His body is emanating rays of sweet nectar throughout the universe, which includes Vrindavan. Krishna's form is black like a new rain cloud, shining more than blue sapphires. He's a fresh youth dressed in yellow silk, like a dramatic actor on the stage. He enchants all ladies. Krishna plays a flute. His eyes are like lotuses, tinged with the pinkish color of dawn. He wears a Vaijanti mala, which hangs down to his knees. He's decorated profusely with ornaments and jewels, and his body is smeared with anjans, making him the ultimate inspiration for romantic attraction. He stands in an enchanting threefold bending form. He's forever the charming flirt. That's a great sentence. Wonder what it is to make God. Krishna is the lover. He is the lover of the charming flirt. He's of the charming flirt category. And that category is called Dear Lalita. Dear Lalita defines Dear Lalita as the category of Krishna's four types of heroic attitudes. And one, Dear Prashant, Dear Lalita, Dear Odata, Dear Odata. So Dear Lalita means one who's very funny, has the characteristics of being very funny, very charming, very flirtatious, and controlled by his lover. He acts like he's really joker, he's really independent, but when I say, brush my hair, I will. She's controlled by Radharani's love. Krishna has 32 auspicious physical characteristics and 64 unique qualities unique to himself. How old is Krishna? Krishna is 15 years. 15 years, 9 months. 7.5 days. Don't forget that half. You meet kids and say, how old are 5.5? 5.5. How old? I'm 5 3/4. I'm a big man. 5.5. Can you imagine that? I'm 29.5. I'm 72.5. It works when you're a kid, but not when you're an adult. I'm 39.5. It's not going to work then. Well, it works when you're a kid, doesn't work when you're growing up. When you're a kid, you go naked in the village, but not when you grow up. So that's Rara, that's Krishna, and it's the Vibhav Prem Vishai. Now it describes Radharani, because it's a category of rasa, a swadhan tasting ras, which requires 5 different samagris, components of ras. Basic beginning point is stairati, which grows and nourishes the Moose heart with the introduction of Vibhav, which is a type of feeling, type of attitude, which is made up and created. That kind of Vibhav, mood and attitude, is created by the introduction, appearance of the object of love and the lover beloved, means Radha and Krishna. So we describe Krishna as yata to love. Now he's describing the shelter of love, Radharani. Vibhav Prem Ashraya. She is the daughter of Rishabhanu, and she's highest personification of love called Adi Ruda Mahabhav. Radharani's bodily hue is more beautiful than a golden champak flower sprinkled with saffron, which means Keshar. She wears a blue garment like a dark blue cloud, same color as Krishna. What do you know? She dresses in an extra way to delight Krishna. That's nice. That's so sweet. And we're going to do everything we're going to do. We have two. Everything we do, we have two objects. There's two choices. We do it for me or someone else. So most everything we do, we calculate. Number one, I do what I do for me. You do what you do for you. But some people in the world, they want to taste what is love. So they try to do something for someone else once a week or once in a while, you know. Not too much, because, you know, not too much is too much. You know? But Radharani, she lives to delight Krishna. And Krishna lives to delight Radharani. So it's a perfect dynamic of love. So Radha dresses herself expertly and beautifully to delight Krishna. Radharani's face is bent down, is slightly lowered in shyness. Radharani blossoms like a beautiful maiden, decorated with all beautiful characteristics. Radharani's body smells like a lotus flower. Her eyes are dark blue and fully blooming like lotus flower. She has 16 cosmetics and 12 ornaments, increasing her beauty. Although Radharani has unlimited qualities, 25 are outstanding personal qualities. She's expert in all 64 arts, and her svabhava, her nature, is called Vama Madhya. She's contrary, but mildly contrary. Like Lalita's Vama Prakar. Prakar means excessive, excessively opposing. And excessively antagonistic, hard to conquer over. Radharani is temperamental in her romantic dealings. Her love is of the single-pointed variety known as competent affection or smarta rati. Radharani's attachment to Krishna. These are different ideas, her attachment, her attitude, her attachment, her love, her attitude, her dress, her decorations. Very interesting. I understand about Rari's psychology and her movements of her heart. Everything is being described here. It's quite amazing when you read it again and again. Rari's attached to Krishna is called Madhyata. Because she thinks that Krishna is mine. You belong to me. As her own, rather than thinking of herself being his. Her affection is called Madhusneha. Sneha means affection, Madhu means honey. Because it needs no addition to completely please and satisfy Krishna. Her pouting, when she pouts and plays, becomes like unhappy or just agitated or disturbed, or just not liking something Krishna does, called pouting. It's called lalit, because it increases Krishna's erotic spirit. Radharani's intense attraction to Krishna is called manjishtarag. This is described in Usulilamani. Very technical terms. Because it's ever newness and independence from an indifference to all hankerings, all obstacles. She's a granddaughter of Mukhara. Her mother's name is Kirtita. Her mother-in-law is no one wants to say. There's a tatil. I look at everybody knows, you know, I'm not saying. Her so-called husband is, no one's even going to say that. I'll say it. No one is too shy to say it. Abhimanyu, her sister-in-law, no one will say this to you, is Kutila. And her brother-in-law is Durmad. Durmad is the brother of Abhimanyu. Her brother is Sridham. Her younger sister is Angamantri. And her home is in Javit. Radharani's eternal age. 14 years, 2 months, 5 days. 14 to 5. Precise. It's amazing, is that today in India, no one knows when they're born. They all have birth certificates. Most of you have birth certificates. I asked you, I had to get your age and this and that or some form. I don't know when I'm born. I'm born, I die, that's all I know. I'm alive now. I guess it's not so important when you're born. The important thing is when you're going to die. We don't know when we're born, we don't know when we're going to die. So that's the situation. Interesting here, Radharani's pastimes take place in Cupid's pleasure garden known as Madananda Kunj and Radha Kunj. Now I find this very interesting because he says, I don't know where this quote begins, where it ends, but this whole quote is from Vrindavan Mahamamrita by Prabhupada Saraswati, describing the Vibhav Prem Vishai Krishna and Vibhav Prem Ashray Radharani. And because the author himself is Kunja Bihari Das Babaji Maharaj, he's Nityananda Parivar. Nityananda Parivar, they're Yukteswari Lita Sakhi. Lita Sakhi's Kunja is called Lita Nanda Kunja, some other name. Madananda the Kunja is the name of Vishaka Sakhi's Kunja. So it's very interesting that this is mentioned here, I find it. You know, like when you're in that party, then you see, it's like you're doing a drama. You're in school, you're doing a drama. You're in a drama, you're on the stage. And it's an auditorium, a school auditorium. All the mothers and fathers are there. And there's like 500 parents, 500 people there in the auditorium. So you look around, and you see everybody, and you see your mother and father. Oh, my mother and father. You know, everybody's okay, they're parents of all my friends and everybody, okay, I don't even know who they are. But when you see your mother and father, some special oneness is generated in your heart, naturally, because there's some bond, a connection, relationship with you. So when you're in a particular family, and in a particular territory, then when you see your name in Shastra, you feel, oh, yeah, she's mine, I'm hers, or whatever. Yeah, Tidya Bhav or Madhya Bhav or whatever. I'm her, she's mine, whatever. Both Bhav is whatever. She's mine, I'm hers. Yeah, how does it work? If a girl thinks he's mine, she has Madhya Bhav to her husband, and the husband thinks she's mine. Both of them have Madhya Bhav. How does it work, you know? I guess it works, really. Because Krishna must think, I have millions of gopis, but they always have Radharani. We read that, Sajjan Rai was giving class in Rasleela the other day. He quotes some Tika Vishnath. He said there was 10 billion gopis in Rasadev. 10 billion gopis, that's quite a few gopis. But he took one and went away. So yeah, she's everything. Krishna thinks Radharani is mine. The enchanting bodily luster of Krishna and Radharani is heavenly golden and blackest. Each and every limb of Radhakrishna's body emits flashing rays of effulgence which illuminate all directions. Their celestial forms are wonderfully apportioned in every detail, filled with loveliness. They are a shoreless ocean of unparalleled and astounding beauty. The ocean of their love, Radhakrishna's love for one another, overflows its banks and increases constantly. Every limb of Radhakrishna's body is constantly spinning with the intoxication of lustful attraction. That's amazing. This is Prabhupada, another Saraswati. This, he uses expletives. It's called expletives. Means very explanatory adjectives. He uses superlative adjectives. He uses all kinds of adjectives. Like in Vrindavan Mayamamrita, he describes the rising moon with 3 pages. It's like 75 verses describe the beauty of the rising moon. It moves right, okay, yeah. 75 Sanskrit slogans, beautiful poetry to describe the rising of the moon. So he's a real connoisseur of rasa and a real fantastic poet and real has a flair for adjectives. Every limb of Radhakrishna's transcendental bodies is constantly spinning with the intoxication of lustful attraction. Due to their absorption in loving affairs, their entire forms are covered by waves of shivers, which means trembling, which manifest as their bodily hair repeatedly standing on end. That's one sentence. Radhakrishna's minds are untouched by any desire other than that for amorous enjoyment. They are interested in no other amusements for their own sake. They are totally dedicated to one another in an unbroken erotic attachment. This attachment increases even more by beautiful songs. They're always engaged in pastimes, Radhakrishna always engaged in pastimes and are constantly floating on the surface and plunging into the depths of the ocean of their love for one another. That's really a great way to describe guys who love a certain girl. I love you. Imagine if you're the wife of Prabhupada Saraswati or the lover. He talks, love talks in the bed, you know, intimate love prattles must be totally intoxicating. Imagine having a poet for a lover. I mean, can't be it. Radhakrishna always engaged in pastimes and are constantly floating on the surface and plunging into the depths of the ocean of their love for one another. Radhakrishna always served by Radharani Sakhis and Manjaris. These Sakhis and Manjaris are the very life of Radhakrishna because they are expert in plunging them deeper and deeper in the ocean of loving ecstasies. Go deeper, deeper, deeper. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's so out of our realm, our experience of reality. It's like some faraway, magical land. You know, that it's really like that there. It's really a place like that. I can't believe it. It's just a paradise island in the Pacific somewhere, off of Fiji or somewhere. Where is it? Tahiti or Bali or where? You know, where is this place? Where is this loving of feelings? Where are these people? Amazing. Rupa Swami has written a meditation on the forms of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami said, I meditate on the forms of Radha and Krishna as their bewitching eyes drink in each other's beauty with mutual glances of intense affection. They have trembling arms wrapped around one another in mutual embrace, and their golden black bodies are dressed in golden black garments, respectively. Krishna's blue body is dressed in gold garments, and Radharani's golden body is dressed in blue garments. So just like when they physically embrace each other, gold is embracing blue. So when they're not physically embracing, Radharani's blue cloth is embracing her golden body, and Krishna's yellow cloth is embracing his body. And when they get in Prem Vibram, that golden cloth becomes Radharani, and Krishna feels Radharani's embracing me. And Radharani, when she's bewildered by Prem, she thinks my blue sari is Krishna and Shyamasundara embracing me. This is the amazing thing of love. That's why they wear those dresses. They wear those dresses to proclaim to each other their intense attachment to each other and to remind the world of the attraction, to remind the world, anyone sees Radha and Krishna, how of the perfection of loving attraction. When we see Krishna dressed in yellow, why is he dressed in yellow? To show his loving attraction and attachment to Radharani. And Radharani is dressed in blue. When you see Radharani wearing blue sari, why is she wearing blue sari? To teach everyone in the world how much she's attracted and attached to Krishna in their blue sari. So they're not only relishing the experience of each other in their dress, but they're teaching the world about their love. Another prayer by Raghunath Das Goswami in Stavali goes like this. When will I have the great fortune to see the original of all infatuated amorous couples? Amorous couples, when lovers, two men, woman, or lover, beloved, fall in love, become infatuated. It's one of the five arrows of Cupid. There's five arrows of Kandara, one's called infatuation. One's called going crazy. One's called losing sleep. So there, Radha and Krishna, the original of all infatuated amorous couples. Gandhara, Giridhari, and Vrindavan, whose appearance sends forth such dealings, such a flood of ambrosia, in which Cupid's inspirations take a dominant role, expanding your loving activities, giving them great joy. So we'll continue there next week. Jai Jai Shri Radha.